got so many exciting things going on. It's a busy church this time of year, and it's great. It's great to be with my church family today, and so very much appreciate all of you and love you so much, and glad that we can dig into God's Word today. We started a brand new series just a couple of months ago, actually, now, called He's Walking With Me, and we've been taking a look at those moments that we find in Scripture where Jesus was kind of walking along or actually even went through what we go through as well, and helps us deal with all these many years later with those things that we deal with on a regular basis. And today, I think, is a really important one for all of us here today. And I want to share the fact that Jesus walks with us when I am tempted. When I'm tempted. Temptation. It's an interesting subject in churches, because we find ourselves sometimes drawn to do things, or at least the suggestion is for us to do something that we really have no business doing whatsoever. It goes against God's word. It goes against God's will for our lives. And yet there it is. There's that suggestion in our mind. There's that draw to sin. And I want you to know that Jesus went through it too. And not only did Jesus go through temptation, but he also conquered it as well. And to anybody here today who might be struggling with temptation, to anybody here today, maybe you've got the kind of the wrong picture of what temptation really is. Because I've met some people that would suggest that, well, if you're tempted to do something, that means you're a bad person. In fact, you've already sinned because you're tempted. And by the way, we're not talking about the extra piece of cake or pieces of cake, okay, which would be my case. We're talking about those things that the enemy will use to draw us away from God's will and God's plan and God's word. And I want you to know there's a way out of that. And there's a way that you could defeat it. And Jesus went through it for each and every one of us. So let's see how he did so. Does that sound good? So I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1 and go to verse 11. And then we're also going to take a look at another scripture in the book of Hebrews. But let's ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word as we look at this together. We are in Matthew chapter 4, and starting in verse 1. If you don't have your Bible, you can look on the screen, and I'll have all my verses for you today up there. Here we go. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. By the way, look at that verse again. Jesus was led into the wilderness, not for a hike, but to be tempted by the devil. Okay, let's keep going. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him and angels came and attended to him. Now, if you will, flip over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 4, verses 15 to 16. Look what this says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus, I'm so thankful that whenever we face temptation, you get it. You understand that. And God, you are here not only as the victor over that, but Lord, you're also here as our helper to get us through it. So Lord, I pray that you would just help us to unpack this more so that we would not be discouraged, but God, that we would trust you in every way. And Lord, I'll thank you for what you do, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And we all said amen. You may be seated. He is walking with me when I am tempted. Now, here's the deal. Each one of us, there was a famous youth pastor by the name of Jeannie Mayo. She was in the 80s and 90s. She was a legend. And one of her favorite catchphrases was, "You need to know what your hell bait is." Your hell bait. How many fishermen are in here today? Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Now, I've only fished a few times, but here's what I know, that there are different types of bait that will attract different fish. There are different types of lures that will catch different fish. It's kind of how it goes. Well, you need to understand that there is different types of bait for every single person in here, that the enemy of our souls will bait the hook with to try to draw you away from God and into destruction, into sin, into unhappiness, into loss, into catastrophe, into chaos. That hook is baited, it is filled differently with every single person in here. I've got my hellbait area. You've got your hellbait area. Pastor, what's yours? It's none of your business what mine is. I'm going to announce that here. But I know how the enemy tries to bait the hook with me. And if you don't know how the enemy tries to bait the hook with you, then that is a problem. Because that's going to make you susceptible to being caught. Every one of us has that. In fact, there's a chance that a lot of us have different forms of bait that the enemy will try to use to try to reel us in away from the hands of God. I want to share this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's a great verse. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." Do you see that? "But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Look at the lengths that God goes to ensure that you can overcome and I can overcome temptation. When I read this verse, it's so encouraging. But the reality is, every one of us is going to be tempted in one way, shape, or form. It happened to Jesus. It's going to happen to you. Maybe it happened to you on the way here. Maybe it was a rough ride to church. But the question is, how do I deal with temptation? This is for young and old here today. This is for the new Christian and the seasoned Christian. This is for the person that maybe doesn't even know Christ yet. Jesus loves you, friend, and he provides a way out so that you can stand. So the question is, how do I deal with it when I face temptation? Well, in order to do that, we need to unpack what temptation is and what the scripture has to say about it and kind of look at what Jesus did to overcome it at the very beginning of his ministry, as we just read. So let's look at this here together, okay? Number one, I want to show you the example that we have. The example that we have in overcoming temptation. Here's what I love about Jesus Christ. You ready? You will hear me say over and over that Jesus died for your sins. How many of you are thankful for that today? Amen? But listen to me. Not only did Jesus die for you, but Jesus lived for you. Jesus lived a life on earth to show us how we should live our lives on earth as well. His teaching, his example, how he handled things, how he handled adversity, and in this case, how he handled temptation. Now, we just read Hebrews 4. I'm going to read it again. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are. I want you to think about that phrase for a second. I want you to think about how you are tempted. Personally, Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet, he did not sin. So because of that, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So get this, okay? Get this. If I want help with my golf game, and many of you know that that is a pressing need in my life, it's a critical need, okay? If I am in need of help with my golf game, I'm not going to find somebody who doesn't know how to play. I'm not going to find a novice. I'm not going to try to find somebody who's no good at golf. And in fact, golfers, you ever been in that foursome where you got somebody who's not good at golf, but they keep telling you how to play golf? You know what that person needs to do? They need to go back home and stay out of my foursome. But I digress. So if I need help with my golf game, I'm going to go to somebody that really knows how to swing, that really knows it, somebody who is great at it. This example that we have in Jesus, we can approach him with our temptations. Why? Because he's been through it, just like I have been, yet was without sin. He overcame it. The purpose of temptation is to try to get you to deviate off of God's path. That's exactly what the devil tried to do in these scriptures that we read earlier. And Jesus conquered it over and over and over again. So hear me today. It is not a sin for you to be tempted. If you're facing temptation, it might be strong. It might be a temptation for you to do something really, really bad in other people's eyes. You've not lost. Hear me. If you're facing temptation, you've not lost. In fact, you're in great company of the one who is victorious. Let me say it again. If you're facing temptation of any kind, you've not lost. Not yet. It's what you do with it. But Jesus himself is our example of who we can go to for our temptations. When you're tempted, the first person you need to talk to is Jesus. When you're facing temptation, the first contact you need to make is Jesus. Because he was tempted in every way, just like you are, yet did not sin. Secondly, I want to take a look at the environment that Jesus was in. Okay, so we've got Jesus, and he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. And by the way, I'm going to show you in a little bit that the scriptures that we read were not the only three times that I believe Jesus was confronted with temptation. But I'll show you that at the end of this message. But I want to take a look at when we find ourselves the most susceptible to temptation. Because how many of you know there's times where we're doing so good, it's just like, temptation? Nah, sorry. Not going to go there. But then there's other times in our lives where that temptation comes, and it's just like, oh, man, not now. Not at this point. And you know what? Jesus found himself in some interesting times when temptation came his way. Let me show you. First of all, this was after a time of spiritual success. Now, if you were to read the previous chapter, we started on the first verse of chapter 1. If you were to read chapter 3, you'll see that that is the story of Jesus' baptism. And not only was Jesus baptized, but the scripture says that as he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. And then there was an audible voice from heaven, God the Father saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." How many of you know that's a really good church service? Okay? You've had a good day. You've had a good day. Got baptized. Holy Spirit came on me like a dove. Heard my Heavenly Father talking to me audibly. Everybody else heard it. I've had a good day. And let me tell you something, that on the heels of some of your greatest spiritual successes, you have to be careful and be aware of the fact that you are prone to temptation. The enemy will try to take advantage of your victories. In fact, he'll try to destroy your victories with temptation. Trust me, Jesus comes out of the water and he's led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil, but this is on the heels of the very beginning of his ministry. This is a mile marker in Jesus' life. Do you know when you need to pray for this pastor? Well, hopefully every day. But man, when I've had a good service, when I've seen success in this church, you need to pray for me. Because the enemy will try to distort that and try to get me to compromise in my walk with him. And he will use any means necessary to try to take away the victory that God gave me personally. And this temptation, it is not a coincidence that this temptation in Jesus' life came right on the heels of great spiritual success. Secondly, it'll come when we're emotionally weak. It'll come when we're emotionally weak. And not only that, it'll come at a time that we're physically weak. Now, Jesus, the scripture says, had been fasting for 40 days. Now, to put this in perspective, some of you have gone 4 hours without any food, and you are getting the shakes even as we speak right now. Okay. Some of us, we go a day without food. We skip a meal. It's just like, where's the donuts? You know, it messes with us. It can mess with us physically. It can mess with us emotionally. And how many know Jesus was not only 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And so he felt what we feel. He experienced what we experience. And he went through what we go through. So Jesus in his body is physically weak. And by 40 days of not eating, there's a weakness even there emotionally, I believe. Do you know when we can be very prone to temptation? Is when we're physically very weak. When we're tired. When we're exhausted. You might be busy doing great things. May I tell you that Jesus was not in the wilderness doing sinful stuff. He was praying. He was with his Father. But still, in the midst of doing such good things, he was weak. Listen to me, church member. Those of you who are active in the church, even those that are watching us online that might be in ministry, you might be doing a lot of really good things, but be careful, that can make you extremely weak. And when you're extremely weak, that can make you very prone to temptation. You need to be careful of that. There are seasons in my life where I am more busy than others. I thought the summer was going to be kind of a break. Boy, was that dumb of me to think. And so I have to guard myself lately. Because I'm busy. I'm real busy. Doing lots of stuff. And I know the enemy can try to capitalize on me. And he can do the same with you. The environment, we got to recognize for us personally, when are you more prone to be tempted than others? Maybe it's when you're near a certain person. Maybe it's when you're in a certain circumstance or in a certain situation. Maybe it's when you are weak. Maybe it's just on the heels of you growing in your faith in Christ. Maybe your emotions are kind of messed up because what has happened in your life, no fault of your own. It's just happened, and emotionally you're a little bit vulnerable right now. I promise you, that's when the enemy will try to take advantage. And we have to recognize this. We can't be surprised. We have to recognize those moments that the enemy will try to capitalize on us. Thirdly, though, I want to take a look at the extent of temptation. We've taken a look at our example. We've taken a look at the environment. But look at the extent of temptation. I'm reminded again from Hebrews 4. Jesus was tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Yet was without sin. He did not sin. Temptation has to be dealt with at the temptation level before it evolves into sin. So can I just speak brutally honest? Okay, Bubba, hear me? Okay, if you're tempted when you walk into that store and that flirty little cashier is there and you're just loving, hey, you know, she's like, hey, you know. And the thoughts that are going in your head, well, nobody would know, and blah, 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 blah. And you get all these thoughts. Okay, when is it the right time to deal with that temptation? When it festers? When it manifests itself? Or at the temptation level? See, I think sometimes we gotta quit thinking that we could play with fire and not get burned. Scripture tells us to flee from the very appearance of evil. And the problem with us, you ready? The problem with us is that we think we can manage temptation, and you can't. You can't. Not without the Holy Spirit's help.
Well, I can handle this, you know. Yeah, she's pretty, but yeah, I got standards.
Stop. If you got to change stores, change stores. If you got to take a different way to work, take a different way to work. Hear me. If we're not relentless with temptation, write this down. If we're not relentless with temptation, temptation will be relentless with us. Will be. You know what temptation does? Temptation tries to get us to fill a need in our lives in an ungodly way. That's what it does. Temptation will try to... Some of us, the temptation is simply just not keeping our mouth shut. And because we want to be accepted, we'll just... Bleh. And we'll say things. And it's not kind at all. It's not... But what happens because we would rather be accepted by individuals than right with our Lord, we will compromise. And temptation is trying to fulfill a need that you have for acceptance the wrong way. That's what temptation does. It will try to fill a need in your life in a way that is contrary to the Word of God. Fourthly, I'd like to take a look at temptation's exaggeration. Because I need to tell you something. That God, and the Bible says this, God is not the author of temptation. God is not the source of your temptation today. Yes, Jesus was led to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, but he did that so that he could conquer it and to show us how to do so as well. Jesus does not try to get you to fail. Hear me again. Jesus will never try to get you to fail spiritually. That is never from God. Ever. It's never from God. The exaggeration is this, is that you're the only person feeling this way. You're the only person going through this. You're the only person that's facing this temptation. Nobody can understand you. Nobody can relate to you. Even God cannot understand what you're going through because you're the only one. And here's a trick that the enemy will always try to do. You ready for this? The enemy will always try to isolate the child of God. Always. Always. Why? Because when Jesus established the church, this right here, he knew what he was doing because we are created to live out our faith in community. You see? And so if he can get us to isolate ourselves from a spiritual family, a spiritual community, if he can convince us that we're the only ones facing this, and we're the only ones feeling this way, and we're the only ones that are going through this, and nobody can understand me, that is a lie that the enemy will try to tell to convince you that you have nothing in common with the rest of the body of Christ. And then I read 1 Corinthians 10:13 again. And it says that no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. So you're not the only one facing this. I got to say it again. You are not the only person facing the kind of temptation that you're facing. Your temptation is not unique to you. It's not. Don't believe that lie. Don't believe that lie. If the enemy can somehow think that your temptation is outside of the grace of God, then he has won a victory. Jesus identified the language of the devil. And he said that he only speaks, his native language is lies. That's all he knows to speak. Every time the enemy speaks, it's through lies. In fact, we read just a little bit ago that even in Jesus' case, he twisted scripture around to try to get Jesus to sin. The devil's a liar, but Jesus is the truth, and you are not alone. You are not alone. That temptation that you're facing, you're not alone. That pull, that bait that the enemy is using against you, you're not the only one. How many of you know the devil cannot create anything? He could only corrupt. The devil cannot create anything. He will only corrupt. And so no temptation, no device, no trick is unique to just you. You are not alone. And that should give you a lot of encouragement, because there are other people in this room who have overcome the same temptations that you have overcome. And that's what this church is all about. That's what any church is supposed to be all about, is that we're a bunch of people doing life together. When we weep, the rest of the body weeps. And when we rejoice, the rest of the body rejoices. And we help one another and encourage one another. And we're there for one another. We are not alone. That's the beauty of this thing that we call church. And that's this beauty, the beautiful thing that we have in the body of Christ. That leads me finally to the escape from temptation. How do I escape? Pastor Phil, all your little verses and all your little points, fine, they're cute, but you don't know what I'm facing. And I probably don't. And thanks for the whole cute remark. I appreciate that as well. But no matter what it is that you're facing, and I might not even be able to relate to what you're facing. I get it. But there is a common denominator for every single person within the sound of my voice who is ever tempted, that you have the same escape. Jesus has designed an escape for you. Look at the rest of verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. God's faithful. Hey, let's just pause there. God's faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Stop right there. Did you read that? God knows the ceiling. God knows your limits. And he will not allow. See, some of you don't believe this. And that's the problem. That you think that that temptation is way more than you can handle. And I'm here to tell you today, according to God's word, it's not. God has put a limit on the temptation that you will face. Now, some of you are saying, boy, I wish you'd quit believing in me so much. Okay, I get it. I get it. But he knows the limit, and he knows the ceiling, and he will not allow that temptation to break that ceiling. He will never let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But, see, for me, even that seems good enough. But just like Jesus, he goes the extra mile. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. How awesome is that? See, you might have walked in here today with a particular temptation battle that you have to face. Maybe you got to crucify that thing every day. Some days so good, some days not so good. But you need to understand that when you woke up, and when you wake up tomorrow, every temptation that you face, God has already not only put a limit on it, he's already created an escape plan. How amazing is that? That he loves you so much. Out of 8 billion people on the planet, he loves you so much that he will go to those kinds of lengths to make you victorious over the devil's temptations. That's incredible to me. He will provide a way out. Look again at Matthew 4. Every time Jesus was tempted with the devil's lies, he defeated him with the truth of the word. Verse 4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's from Deuteronomy. He did it again in verse 7. Jesus answered him, it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, another verse in Deuteronomy. Jesus must have been doing his devotions from Deuteronomy those 40 days. Verses 10 and 11. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Again, from Deuteronomy. And then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. You ready? You want to know how to defeat the lies? You got to know the truth. Okay. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. If you know the truth, it is the truth that will set you free. And see that the devil will try to fabricate things and say that you're too weak and you can't do this and this is way better for you and go ahead, you know what to do, but you know what, go ahead. But what's God say? What's God say? What would Jesus do in this situation? I mean, he's right there with you. He's walking with you. And I believe that for some of us, we need to remember the promises of God's word, but for others of us, we need to ask God for a holy escape plan. Some of us, we need to change our commute. Some of us, we need to change what we log into online. Some of us just need to put the stinking phone down. Some of us, we need to evaluate how much of an influence the people around us are compared to our being an influence on them. Some of us, we need to look really hard at our friendships. Some of us, we need to really hit the brakes on where we plan to go this week. Some of us, we need to make some changes. And here's the deal. Some of us, we are just so afraid to make a change. We are so accustomed to our routine. The definition of insanity, it has been said, is to do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result. If you want to beat temptation, then the Holy Spirit very much can speak to you and say, stop it. He could show you a detour. He could help you evaluate things. He could change your life. Now, I'm going to close with this verse. Jonathan, if you could help me. This same story is told in the book of Luke, chapter 4. But Luke adds one more verse. This is after Jesus has rattled off the verses from Deuteronomy, defeats him all three times. And Luke says, when the devil finished all this tempting, he left him until, by the way, we're talking about the Son of God here. He left Jesus until an opportune time. Praise God when we defeat temptation today. Amen? But I promise you, there might be another one tomorrow. There might be another one the next day. And see, here's the problem. Here's the problem, man. Some of us were like, woo! Yeah! Did it. Going there now. So, hey, girl, she ain't even near me anymore. This is great. So then you find yourself, Bubba, you find yourself going to the other place. And then there's another one. Hey. It's like, oh, wait a minute. And see, here's the deal. The devil knows your hellbait area better than you do. Should I say it again? The devil knows our hellbait area better than we do. And so sometimes the change of location might be the answer, but really what needs to change is my heart. See, so yeah, I could do some things differently and I could be really deliberate about it and it's awesome, okay? And that's fantastic. But I got to be equipped to be able to process these feelings, these temptations in me. Because it's going to come up again. The devil will try to use a more opportune time. So you might have defeated him a month ago, but don't be shocked if he tries it the next month. In fact, he might even cause you to forget that you defeated him a month ago. He might take a week time. He might take a time that you're physically or mentally or emotionally struggling and just say, now, let's bait the hook. That's where we need to be aware today, church. To be honest with you, the response to today's message, sure, it could be in here. But to be honest with you, the real response is out there. How are we going to live this out? You can. Every time temptation comes, you can say, well, this is what God has to say. Maybe you don't even know this thing real well yet. You can say, you know what? I don't even have it all figured out, but here's what I know. Jesus can help me beat this, and I'm asking him to do it right now. So you don't need a theology degree to beat temptation. All you need is Jesus. All you need is Jesus. But as we know the word, as we read the word, as we breathe in the truth and exhale the lies, Jesus will help us defeat temptation. You can do it. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he'll provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Will you stand with me, please? I've asked the Lord specifically what he wanted to do in us after hearing this. And I really feel that he wants to give some escape plans to some people here today. And the prayer that we need to pray, I believe, would be the courage to obey God. Because it could be a really miserable thing to know what you're supposed to do but not have the courage to do it. And I'm praying that God would give you the courage and the wisdom to follow the escape plan that God has for you. And some of us, we may need just to sit in his presence and pray, God, here's my temptation. This is what I struggle with. This is where I need your help. And just let his Holy Spirit speak to you and lead you. He's here to do that today. So today, if you need spend that time with the Lord and get that escape plan, to get that plan, to get that wisdom from him and that help from him, he's here today. I'm going to give you a chance to speak with him and he with you. And then when you're done, you can consider yourself dismissed today. But let's pray, shall we? Jesus, you're so good. Jesus, I thank you for the fact that you were tempted in every way just as we are, yet, Lord, you did not sin. Lord, I'm asking you for help for everybody within the sound of my voice. God, that we would have victory over the clutches of temptation. And Lord God, help us to remember not the lies of the devil, but the truth of your word. So God, I ask you for just very sanctified, holy meeting moments right now with you. And God, that we could walk out of this place, living this out, walking in victory in Jesus' name. So Lord, meet with us, I ask you, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to pray, I invite you to do so right now. Find a place to pray in this room.